I want to start tonight by asking you to think about something. Is there some part of your celebration of Christmas that is non-negotiable? By this I mean, is there something that you do, a tradition, that is an absolute must for you, to the point that if you don't do it, it just doesn't quite feel like Christmas? Do you have something like that? I think most of us do. I know our family have some of these. They include things like certain foods you have to have for Christmas dinner or Christmas breakfast, certain cookies that have to be baked sometime in the last couple of weeks, a particular maybe decoration in your house, or a special one on the tree, maybe the top of the tree, quality street chocolates. Just saying. Okay, maybe that's not yours, but it's an absolute must in the Colliery House. It's just not Christmas without Quality Street. The Christmas season does this to us, doesn't it? It tends to bring out this longing we have for a little bit of tradition in all of us, even if sometimes that tradition is a little bit quirky or even wonderfully not very traditional at all. For some of us, a non-negotiable part of Christmas is actually what we're here doing together right now, coming to a Christmas Eve service. And certainly, those of us who are responsible for planning these services, we know that there are parts of this service that have also become sort of non-negotiables for many of you. I dare say if we were not to read together the scripture that Julie read, Luke's story of Jesus' birth, and if we were not to light those little candles that you've each been given and then dim the lights and sing Silent Night together, well, it wouldn't quite feel like Christmas, would it? So the absolute necessity of the Nativity story, I think, makes perfect sense. It's what we've gathered here to celebrate, so we should hear the story together again. But candle lighting and Silent Night? Why have they become non-negotiables? What is it that happens for each one of us as we light those candles and sing? Well, I suspect, were I to stop and ask you to shout out the reasons why you love that, there would probably be a whole bunch of answers that we would hear. It's beautiful, the candles shining in the darkness. There's a peace that comes over the sanctuary in that moment, and there's something indescribable and meaningful in that peace. It brings us together. We take the candles and we turn to our neighbors, and we share a flame that has come from our one Christ candle. And yes, it is all of those things, all of those good things, but I think that there's something even more to it than that. I confess that I actually personally have had something going on with light for me in the last few weeks. It's a bit strange, and you might think it's maybe a bit coincidental, but this idea of light and of the place that it has in our lives, it keeps popping up for me. And so I'm finding myself pondering it all, and I suppose noticing it and thinking a bit more about it this year than I normally would. One of the things that popped up for me came in the course of, I'm trying to resurrect an old hobby I used to do now that I have a little bit more spare time in my life. And in the course of resurrecting that hobby, I've been learning about color theory. I heard this thing that really struck me, this one teacher who said that when you're creating a piece, you should put some yellow, even just a little bit of yellow or orange in it, that no matter whether it seems to make sense or not, it almost always works. My friend Adele, the photographer, is smiling and nodding. She knows a lot about light in pieces. It does because our eyes are naturally drawn to light. So if you have this field of color, your eyes will be first drawn to the light parts of that field, the parts that seem to emit light, those oranges and yellows and even white in a dark field. It's kind of interesting. physically, we know it makes sense. But I've also found myself wondering if there's maybe something more to this than just pure physiology. Is there a reason that our eyes were made to be drawn towards light? Well, the concept of light has a really important place in the biblical story. From the very beginning sentences, when we read that wonderful descriptive story of God creating, it starts with these words, "Let there be light." And we have this sense from that point on that light is good, and that somehow it signals the activity and the movement of God. Throughout all of the books that make up the Bible, we run into this metaphor of light and darkness over and over again. It often symbolizes good and evil, and sometimes life and death. And that makes me think that there's something more going on with our attraction to light, more than just the idea of light beams shining through the lenses in our eyes, signaling neurons to send a message to our brain, all of which is spectacular. But maybe there's more. I think that there is. I think there's something more going on within this. Something that draws more than just our eyes to this sense we have of light. We see it in many of the Bible passages that surround what we've come together to celebrate tonight. Famous passage from Isaiah, we read it at the earlier service. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." 750 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, one of Israel's most famous prophets said those words. He foretold Jesus' birth. He spoke of a child who would be born one day, and he began that prophetic promise by saying this: "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of darkness, a light has dawned." God drew people's attention to this promise he was giving through Isaiah, the promise of his coming son. And he did this by drawing their mind's eye to this vision of a great light in the darkness. And then, nearly 800 years later, one of Jesus' first friends and disciples, a young man named John who knew Jesus well and loved him deeply, he did it again. He wrote his story of Jesus' life so that other people could come to know Jesus as he had known him. And he began that story by saying that Jesus was life, and that that light was the light of all humankind. In that same introduction, John describes Jesus as the true light that gives light to everyone. He begins the whole story where he tells us about Jesus by laying before us this sense of light. And our beloved story of Jesus' birth from Luke that Julie read to us. We hear about those shepherds. Throughout all the stories of Jesus' life, we read about people hearing about him and then being drawn to go and try to find him. Well, these humble working shepherds were the first people to hear about Jesus. They got to hear about him on the very night that he was born. And what got their attention? Luke tells us that an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and that the glory of the Lord shone all around them. A sudden light, a light big enough and strange enough to startle and terrify them, appeared in the dark night in that field in the middle of nowhere. And it got their attention, to the point that the angel had to actually ease their fears and assure them that he really was bringing the best news, news of the birth of a king, the Messiah, the one who was going to rescue us all. Those first people to hear about and go looking for Jesus were captivated by a very bright light. And then at the risk of jumping ahead in the story a little bit, we know this story well enough to remember that in a relatively short time, some more people would be drawn to find Jesus by a light. Those wise men from the east were actually led to find this newborn king by a literal star shining with a strange brightness in the sky. It seems like God really has a fondness for using light to get our attention and to draw us. And I truly believe that he might actually be doing it again here tonight. In fact, in just a few moments, we will come to that part of our service that is so special for many of us. We will turn to each other. We will light those little candles. And together we will spread the light they offer throughout this entire space. And as we do that, I want to invite you to take a moment to sense yourself, your eyes, your minds, being drawn to that light. And then remember all of these examples of how God has used light over the centuries to draw people to the manger and to the baby who was lying inside. A baby who would grow up and proclaim himself to be the light of the world. A baby who literally and very physically was Emmanuel. A name that means God come to be with us. Is it possible that in his love, God might be gently drawing each of us to Jesus in that very same way as we light these candles tonight?